is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Vijay Vachaswaran, the Energy and Green Innovation Editor for The Economist magazine. We begin with an anecdote. Vijay, reporting on Ukraine and the unhappiness about the conversation between Washington, Berlin, Moscow, leaving out Ukraine and its need for energy to pass through Ukraine to Europe for the revenues. However, I learn anecdotally that in preparation for winter, the natural gas reserves that Europe likes to prepare with are inadequate or short. The reason has to do with the high price of natural gas. This all can be answered in future, but right now it's pressing on the European leadership. I tell this anecdote because it connects with an article that I've read most recently in the magazine, In the Air, that there is a general revival of fossil fuel worldwide. What is driving this, Vijay? A very good day to you.
Good day to you, John. Yes, indeed. You know, there are great aspirations among environmental people, among policymakers, that coming out of this pandemic, we would be greener, that renewable energy, low carbon energy would take off and somehow we'd be on a more sustainable path. But in fact, what we've seen this year is that we've had a resurgence of dirty fuels. In particular, coal is having a huge price spike and increase in consumption. In America, the government agency in charge of forecasting, the Energy Information Administration, says that we're going to see an increase in the amount of coal that we're going to likely burn this summer compared to last year or before the pandemic, especially. And so that goes against the trend line of the last few years where new generation had typically been renewables because they've become so cheap. And we're also seeing, as you rightly point out, a shortage in Europe of natural gas and storage. By one measure, we're at a five-year low or beyond in terms of how much gas goes into storage. And that matters because that gas is used in winter when Europe is bitter cold. And this is a signal. Now, of course, markets will respond. American LNG shippers, that is liquefied natural gas shippers, are rushing cargoes to get them to Europe and fetching high prices. So it's going to begin to solve itself over time. But it is a signal to the world that everything isn't just going to get greener magically. The fossil fuels are still here for quite some time.
Is this the pandemic that guided us to a conclusion that was premature? In other words, the severe downturn in consumption in America in the last year made it look like we were on our way to the goals set for 2050 in emissions. Did we underestimate the economy and overestimate renewables?
Well, you know, I always believe that to be a chimera. We saw this before with the global financial crisis and the Lehman crash. With the economy sunk low, we suddenly used less energy and our greenhouse gas emissions looked really good from the climate point of view. And some people began to dream that we would be permanently lower on energy use. That didn't happen. As soon as people got money, as soon as the economy came roaring back, so did energy use and the emissions and air travel emissions and all of the rest roared back to life, as they were before the crisis. And I predict that we will, broadly speaking, see a resurgence of the global economy and with it energy use. And unfortunately, until policies are put in place in places that burn a lot of coal, where it's the cheapest alternative, in emerging markets, for example, China, India, Indonesia, they burn a lot of coal, South Africa. Unless there's either incentives given in the form of subsidy or international aid or some other mechanism to get people in those countries to switch off of coal onto clean energy, they're going to burn their coal because they don't have meaningful carbon prices, carbon taxes, or the things that, let's say, Europeans have in place. And so they don't have the incentives. And I think that's what we're beginning to see. And the U.S. is somewhere in the middle. We're not as green as Europe. No, we're not in as difficult a position as some of the poor countries. But here the market forces do favor some of the green technologies and innovations are coming up in America in energy storage and such. So we could go either way. And at the moment, this year, it looks very likely that we're going to use more fossil fuels, especially coal, as a mix, as part of our mix than we did in the last pre-pandemic year of 2019.
China, you note that China has reduced its imports of coal from Australia and therefore had to seek other sources. Has that decision been reversed, or is that going to be a permanent driver? And by reducing its imports, was this because of energy concerns, or was this politics, Vijay? Can we tell?
It's pure politics. China is caught in a political and diplomatic dispute with Australia. The government in Australia is at the moment particularly suspicious of China on national security, to do with 5G and Huawei and a number of other issues, as well as Chinese meddling in domestic Australian affairs, which has been ongoing, and spying and so on. And so there is a spat, and the tit-for-tat involved here. China cut off its imports of a particular kind of coal from Australia that's used in the steelmaking process, coking coal or metallurgical coal. But that was a huge amount of coal, and that immediately created a scramble among Chinese steelmakers. But it also sent the global price scrambling. And that's part of what's happening in coal markets, is the disruption and dislocation caused by a political factor. In my opinion, I don't think that'll be permanent. At some point, the two countries will find a way to reconcile, but it might require a different government in Australia, a new leadership, because as long as they're taking the positions that they're taking, the Chinese have decided they are going to be hostile towards them.
Fossil fuels include oil, and I mention that because in the United States, the Biden administration and many state governments are committing themselves to goals that will eliminate the fossil fuel-driven automobile by such a date. A date that's close enough that I can imagine being alive for it, Vijay. So I'm interested. Are these goals helpful for the world picture of the wish to go green? Is the reduction of the automobile engine a significant factor, or is it swamped by the coal demand that you mentioned?
If we're interested in the question of dealing with climate change, the big kahuna is coal. There's no doubt. The carbon intensity of coal is much greater than even of oil, and never mind natural gas, which is less carbon intensive. And so, and in particular, in electricity systems that are heavily reliant on coal, in particular the developing countries, we've got to fix that problem, or else nothing else matters. Everything Europe does with windmills, all the batteries that California installs, and all the Teslas that people might drive around, they really won't solve the problem if you don't solve the problem of getting the developing world to transition off of coal electricity. That's how much carbon dioxide is embedded in that coal. Now, having said that, oil is also a challenge. Oil is mostly used in transportation around the world. And here we do have a solution at hand, and that is over the course of the next 10 years, we're going to electrify many kinds of transportation, many kinds of vehicles. And China is at the forefront because it has scale. The U.S. is at the forefront of innovation with Tesla and other car makers. But around the world, Europe is at the forefront of policy and mandates getting it into the marketplace. So we can see a pathway to move off of fossil fuels and transportation or reduce their impact. It's a lot harder to see how that's going to happen with coal in the developing world.
Do I generalize correctly that this is a tale of two economies, the economy that depends upon coal for growth and the economies that do not depend upon coal and have alternatives and are rich enough to offset everything with the decline in fossil fuel fossil fuel energy for industry and for residences, such as natural gas in California. So it's two different worlds. That leads me to the quick observation, not very thought through, that what is necessary to mitigate the climate threats is investment in the developing world, not building more windmills. Is that generality holding up?
You know, it doesn't have to be an either or. I think almost certainly we're going to decarbonize the grid in America and Europe and Japan. We see this happening. In the U.S., it's a lot to do with market forces. New generation in many parts of the U.S. that have pretty good sun and wind capacity, like the Midwest, the South, the Southwest, it's cheaper to install large-scale wind and solar now in those markets. And the regulators are rewarding utilities for doing this. So we're getting there already in the U.S. In Europe, it's already true. There's a dramatic transformation of European utilities towards green energy. But if you ask what do we do about the developing world? There are interesting ideas. The G20 group of leading countries has looked into possibly phasing out coal over time, agreeing a ban of some kind. But then you'd need to compensate those utilities in the developing world that have just built new coal plants. There's lots of them in the last 10 years. You can't, and a lot of them have dollar debt with American banks as investors. So you can't forfeit on those. And so you have to find a way to make those investors get their money back, as it were, or to take on that debt onto the sovereign books so that those utilities in the developing markets can invest in often the clean energy that actually works for them. They're in hot, sunny places, often windy places. It makes economic sense, but not if you're saddled with a load of debt from a new coal plant. So I think there's some fiddly stuff that people need to work on, and they are, but some of it is going to include either public money or World Bank type of funding, as well as private sector working together.
Vijay Vijayaswaran, author of The Prescient Power to the People, is the energy and green innovation editor at The Economist magazine. We're going to turn to making money in a world where there is climate change and there are economies making adjustments. And one of the ways to make money is to adapt. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.